Okay, we're going to talk to Steve this afternoon, Steve Sammartino, and this is in reference to Push That Button, Brent, Push That Button, Brent, and I think we're ready to go. In 2018, it's just about finished, and we look towards 2019. One of Australia's leading futurists, Steve Sammartino, has taken a look into his crystal ball to take a look at what he sees as the tech trends for the next year, and he joins us this afternoon. Hello, Steve.
Hello, how are you?
Good, mate. I hope you're well.
I'm loving life. It's a festive time of the year.
It is. Look, I was never successful at school in reference to mathematics. Actually, I should have stopped after I said I was never really successful at school. That would have probably been more to the point. But algorithms, everyone seems to be talking about algorithms these days. I've got here a note that algorithms are going to be exposed in 2019. What's that mean?
They are. So algorithms at the moment, they're like a secret recipe. Some of the listeners might remember back in the day, Coca-Cola, the recipe on Coca-Cola was a secret. No one knew what was in there.
Yeah.
And in fact, it turned out it even had things like cocaine in it.
Sure.
Some of the formulas that we had for kids' medicine had heroin in it and all manner of things. And we forget that algorithms right now are a secret because the companies who make them, of course, want to trick us to behave certain ways and use the algorithm so that we stay on their sites longer. And I think that one of the big things we'll see now with this tech backlash, or the tech lash, as they're calling it, is that the algorithms will end up on our screens, just like we have nutrition panels and ingredients lists on our cereal boxes. So that's what we're going to expect next year, because corporations and the government have realized that these are kind of being used against us in forms of sort of mind control. They can disrupt politics and all manner of things. So the algorithms are going to be, I think they're going to be exposed, and we're going to see a lot of regulation next year where we finally understand the way we interact on the internet, because it's been a little bit of chicanery by the Googles and Facebooks of this world.
So what is an algorithm?
Yeah, good question. So an algorithm is, it's like a recipe. The easiest way to describe it, an algorithm is a recipe of what things the computer does based on the inputs that are in there. So an easy way to describe it is if this, then that. So, for example, if the person has clicked like on sporting, then show them sporting in their newsfeed first. If the person has done certain things, it'll give patterns that show the person what to do. So an algorithm is a set of instructions that a computer follows to decide what to serve up to the person using or interacting with that computer.
And these algorithms are written by brainy tech people, right?
Yeah, so they're written by brainy tech people, but they're interactive as well. So the algorithm that I get on Facebook will be different on yours,
right,
based on what I do. So the algorithms basically are a set of instructions, but the instructions will vary based on which computer is using it. So they'll follow your pattern, see where you went, look at the things you like, look at which people's things you read more often and what you click on, and then show you things that are like the things that you've already spent the most time on, so that you'll stay there longer and they can sell you more advertising. So that's typically what happens. But it's basically the things that the computer decides to do to try and keep you there longer or keep you on that website longer or to make you buy things. So that's ostensibly how these algorithms are used, but they're regarded as a corporate trade secret. But that secret is about to get opened up with regulation, especially with our ACCC report that came out this week on big tech controlling our lives.
Okay, let's talk social networking. What are social back channels? They're going to emerge in the next 12 months.
Yeah, so for a long time we all got enamored and excited to show people what we were having for breakfast and what we were doing in our news feeds on Facebook and our Twitter feed. But increasingly now people are realising that a conversation with 100 people or 500 so-called friends isn't really that valuable. And the thing that's emerged to be really powerful, and you probably know this yourself and as the listeners would, is having back-channel messages, so private messages in the back-channel. So you might have different groups with two or three people who are into a certain thing that you're into. Maybe they're in your football club, and then you might have some other people that you talk to just with politics with, and then you might have your family on another little messaging group. So the use of social media as a way to communicate with people generally and have general chit-chat, that's going away.
Right.
We're going back to small private messages, a little bit like when you're sitting around a table having a cup of coffee, like we might have done at the kitchen table a number of years ago. And people are realizing that the value that we get, the human value of trying to tell everyone what we're doing, just means everyone's yelling at each other and no one's really conversing or listening. So people using messaging again, back to old-fashioned text messaging and maybe some of the direct messages and private messages that you can use on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and all of these other messages will come back. So we're about to see the emergence of people having meaningful conversations with important friends and family in private digital forums, not public digital forums.
Okay, so we're still going to be doing it with a phone or with a tablet. Yeah. We won't be doing
we'll
it on the phone.
We'll do it with the phone, absolutely. Just like we used letters and we called people up on the phone to have a little chit-chat years ago, I think we'll still do that messaging, but I think it's going to be very... And the evidence already suggests it's very much moving back towards that private arena.
Okay, now, it says the last 10 steps, but basically what it means is, you know, the delivering of a parcel.
Yeah, so right now, if your house is like my house, you might get every day another little cardboard slip saying, sorry, we missed you.
Yeah.
People talk about in e-commerce and people buying things online that, you know, it's great and it's more convenient. The only problem is no one's ever home to get their deliveries. And so what we will see next year is instead of talking about the last mile, which is what e-commerce companies talk about, we're going to talk about the last 10 steps. I reckon we're going to see some innovations in letterboxes, where we get a future-proof letterbox that maybe's got a fridge on one side and a dry cupboard on the other, and whether you're home or not, someone presses a button, the Amazon delivery guy, next thing you know, your phone rings, it shows the person, you press a button, door swings open, and your groceries get delivered right to the front of your house, so we don't have to go back to the post office and go into a shop, which is what we tried to avoid in the first place by buying things online.
What about the influx of drones? Will drones be delivering more things, you think?
Yeah, I think they will be. In fact, CASA and the Australian Institute of Standards actually worked on a project with those guys this year for drone delivery. And we will probably have, I think, drone delivery pads as well, a little bit like a letterbox for small boxes to be dropped off. I reckon that's not going to happen next year. That might be 2 or 3 years in the future. But certainly seeing some e-commerce delivery solutions at the front of everyone's house, that's coming next year.
So can you seriously see that one day when every house will have, like every house now has a driveway, every house will have a drone landing pad?
Absolutely. We've got to think about houses. Houses are a function of technology. And so electricity in a house wasn't common in Australia until about 1920. Indoor plumbing, my dad tells the stories of in the 1950s, they had a wash basin in the back of their house. Driveways have been around 100 years and letterboxes are only 250 years old. So our houses are a function of the technology that comes in. Even white goods were really just a post-World War II era thing, washing machines and so on. And so when new technology arrives, it's exciting at first and we think, will this come? Next thing you know, it's in everyone's house and we act as though it's always been that way. But houses have always followed the technology. And so that stuff is an absolute reality.
How do you get how do people get away with delivering things by drone when you're supposed to, by law, have the drone in sight? You've got to have it in sight
all
the time.
Yeah, well, that's actually the thing that is being worked on now is what they call outside line of sight drone flying. So these drones will be flown from someone in a control center where they can see the drone, but you won't be able to see it. But that will be a commercial licensing situation. And the drones will probably largely be driven over roads rather than over people's houses for privacy and also accident reasons.
Right.
But that'll come. It's just a matter of the technology maturing and us having the legal regulations around it to make sure that it's safe.
So these days you can follow your pizza being delivered to you on your mobile phone if you really want to.
Yeah.
In years to come, your pizza will be delivered by a drone.
That's right. Yeah, well, it will be. All manner of things will be delivered by a drone because they're going to be... You know, the cost is going to be near zero for distribution. They run on electricity. Electricity is going to come off your roof because we're going to have solar panels. So they don't use a lot of energy and there's no labor involved. So it'll be a lot cheaper. But I guess we'll have swarms of Christmas drones going around once the deliveries start coming thick and fast with that technology.
Gosh. Now, voice-activated things. I mean, you say that you'll be able to... We were talking about how technology has changed in building of a home. Well, it has these days, hasn't it? I mean, you can talk to the wall.
Yeah, and that used to be just for crazy people, didn't it? Now
it
all
did.
Of us can talk to the walls, and we have our Amazon Alexa and our Google Home and Apple HomePod will be coming out as well. I think that voice is a really natural human form of communication. The screen is not very natural. Certainly... our intimations of seeing people have a cup of coffee, ignoring each other, looking at their phone is one of the challenges. And if the technology becomes more human and has more gesturing and voice recognition, it actually won't take away from the human conversation. It almost becomes part of the conversation where you have an artificial intelligence interacts and listens to humans, which is a bit scary. I mean, the truth is it's scary, but it's far more human to have an artificial intelligence that can listen and interact in a conversation with two or three humans in their home so that we can actually pay attention to each other and look each other in the eye. And I think the little devices that we're seeing are just the start. And then eventually, like electricity entered the walls in our homes, I think this artificial intelligence will sort of be integrated into homes where it sees what you're doing and it listens so that we can interact with digital technology without taking ourselves away from the people with us in our worlds and start looking at it. And natural language processing is what all the big tech companies are working on because it's an easier thing to interact with.
Siri, turn the stove on to 220 degrees.
Exactly.
Yeah, that sort of stuff. Okay, robots. There's a lot of talk about a negative side of robots, but in many ways robots can be positive as well. And I see you say the truth about robots is it could be behind a manufacturing, for developed countries anyway, an increase in manufacturing.
Absolutely. See, one of the things that we've forgotten to talk about with this move towards automation in manufacturing is that it gives us a chance to bring manufacturing back to developed economies like Australia, the UK and America. The reason we went offshore with most manufacturing is because low-cost labour could supplant expensive labour in markets like Australia. But if we have automation at high levels within manufacturing, all of a sudden it starts to make sense to make things back in your home country. Most of the economic studies have shown that if you have around about a 30% disparity in price, anything less than 30%, it's worth manufacturing in your own country because of the time of distribution, the cost of distribution, and sometimes the import tariffs. We've had some companies, big companies recently, announce that they're manufacturing again in home markets. GoPro, the action camera, sports camera, they'll be manufacturing back in America. Apple are talking about opening their first plant in America since the 80s. And many large corporations, because of the ability of robotics, are looking at manufacturing back in home markets. So I actually think that in the next 20 years, there's going to be a surprising flip where manufacturing returns to many of the home markets. And, you know, there is a little bit of political will with what's happening now in trade wars against China and so on. So it'll be a really interesting space, but I truly believe that the information economy will actually spur manufacturing back in what were historically expensive market. So we might see a boom and a rebirth of manufacturing here in Australia.
Where do you think mobile phones will go in the next 10 years?
Well, I don't think they'll change a lot, but I think that the voice-activated software will start to overtake the phone. Even now, you can see, and I do it myself, I talk to my phone a bit and don't pick it up as much, so it becomes a repository of information rather than a device that I caress and touch and look for information through.
Right.
I also think that in the long run, the technology of the phone will enter our bodies. Now, this is a Star Trek warning for listeners, but I think that in the long run, the technology, cognitive ability, will be something that sort of slowly we work out a way to attach it to our brains and it becomes, you know, part of us, part of our existence.
Wow. So you physically don't need to have a phone. The phone's part of you.
Yeah, it will be. I think, you know, nano, very small technology that enhances our cognition, our ability to see, our ability to hear, maybe even send Wi-Fi signals to our friends just from our brains. Imagine that.
One of the exciting things for me is what the future is going to create for advances in medical treatments for people. You know, diseases these days that kill, in 10, 20 years, those diseases will be simply eradicated with the advances in technology.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that's very interesting is for people with physical disabilities, the emergence of exoskeletons. So exoskeletons are where you use armor around your body that has artificial intelligence. Sometimes it's connected to your nerves and it can take messages from your brain to move your arms and legs in an assisted manner. So really just a technology version of, you know, what crutches might have been, or, you know, someone who might be in a wheelchair in the future. There's you know, some really strong hope that these people will be able to walk with exoskeletons that provide that support. So that's a really interesting one. In terms of understanding how disease works, rather than having medical practitioners and oncologists in isolation doing research, all of that big data put into artificial intelligent supercomputers can sift through the data and look for patterns that humans would never be able to find out ways to solve those medical problems. So it's a really exciting proposition, you know, as our population ages, but really for everyone to, as we age and people with disabilities, to you know, have access to, you know, a more easier life than they've had historically. So it's really exciting times in biotech.
Steve, I've got to go to the news, and that doesn't change in the future. Mate, good to talk to you. Thank you for your time. We'll talk again before Chrissy, okay?
Cheers.
Thanks, mate. Futurist Bye. Steve Sammartino.